Now joining the program, Chip Scoggins, a sports columnist for the Star Tribune. Chip, thanks so much for the time, man. Really appreciate it. I wanted to start with the Timberwolves and the great season that they had, because although it ends quite sad, it's still a very great season. Overall, were you impressed by the run that they had, or did you think that they had it in them sort of halfway through that season?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. The way it ended is disappointing, obviously. When you look at that Dallas series, I think all of them will look back with regret, particularly the first two games, because those were winnable. I think game two specifically, that's the one that they should have gotten. So that series could have gone a little differently. I still think Dallas was the better team the way they're playing. I think they would have won the series, but the Wolves kind of kicked away a couple chances there to make that series more interesting. But if you step back and take sort of a 30,000-foot view of this season, it absolutely was a success. Mm-hmm. When you look at, they were number one throughout in the West throughout the year. They won 56 games, had a number one defense. They swept the Phoenix Suns. They eliminated the defending NBA champions. They got to the Western Conference Finals. That's a success. I mean, this is not going to be, very few teams just make that big leap and all of a sudden they go from, you know, being a fringe playoff team to winning championships. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to go through these steps, and I think you saw absolute growth in the roster, huge growth in Anthony Edwards and becoming a more all-around player and a superstar. Mm. We saw that the Karl-Anthony Towns-Rudy Gobert pairing worked for the most part. I mean, there were some times where it looked a little clunky, but still, for the most part, it worked, and that was the big experiment coming in last year, and they just didn't get an opportunity to see it because of injuries. But so I think if you look at this season, there is a lot to build on, and there's always that, I don't know if fear is the word, but when you say run it back, there's a temptation to think that you're going to be able to duplicate this. But I still think you keep this core intact, because even though they're over the salary cap threshold, the second apron, I think when you're in the final four teams, you're knocking on the door to a championship. So I would bring the entire group back. If there's a financial component to that, that's hard to swallow, but I would do it with the hope that you're going to see even more growth next year.
I want to talk about that core, but with Anthony Edwards, he had that line afterwards where he said, you know, I know what it takes. I know how to train now. It looked like he was really gassed, and a lot of that, I think, had to do with how much effort he put in on the defensive side of the ball. But being around the team and being around Anthony, much more than I am for sure, you know, what can you say about how he's sort of going to approach the offseason and the regular season a little differently so he's not so gassed come conference finals time?
Yeah, Jake, you're 100% right. I thought he looked tired in the Dallas series. And, I mean, you look at how much energy he expended in that Denver series, and this is new to him. Right? It's new to all of them. He hasn't, other than Mike Conley, I mean, Anthony has not been to this level, so you don't know in the offseason the training, all the things that go into it, the mental part of it, all those things. And he talked about it after they got eliminated, that now he knows. Now he knows what it takes to play this deep into a season, have to really go through this grind of a playoffs to prepare for it. And so I think he's going to be better for it. I mean, we just saw his game really evolve. And to me, the biggest part of that was you saw him become more of a playmaker. Both in the Phoenix and Denver series and Dallas, too, they helped off so much to get the ball out of his hands. Those teams were going to force him to make a pass. And he did that, particularly the first couple series where he would drive and kick and trusted his teammates. And I just thought he became really more under control instead of forcing up shots or being a little bit wild. He made the right play a lot. And so that's a big part of his game. And so I think he'll use this offseason as this was a good learning experience for him and just seeing what it takes to, you know, play this deep and to get your body ready to handle so many extra games at the highest level when you're in the postseason.
What about Karl-Anthony Towns, Chip? You give me your thoughts on Karl-Anthony Towns, and then I'll say mine afterwards.
It's complicated. I still think he's, you know, when he's at his best, they are a really good team. The thing that drives me crazy about Karl is it's year 9, and he's still committing these silly fouls and getting foul trouble.
Exactly.
And there was multiple times, I think two or three times after a game that where Ant and him were both up there in the post game, and Ant basically said, "Stop fouling."
Mm-hmm.
You know, he says it more colorful than I do, but he should not at this. He lets his emotions, and he's been better with his emotions this year, but he lets it get to him where he's frustrated with something. And then he just commits a silly foul where he just wants to bump a guy, or he goes over the back just to, because he's angry or frustrated or whatever. And it's like, at some point, you have to stop doing that. And you have to realize that you're hurting your team by doing that. And when he's able to avoid the foul trouble, he has a skill set. I mean, the way he shoots it, and he didn't, obviously the Dallas series started, he had a tough time shooting, but that was just a slump. We saw him break out of it in game four. But the way he can shoot it from outside, and what he did defensively against Durant and Joker in the first two series was magnificent. I understand people's frustration with him and some of the things we see, but I still think they're better off with him. I don't know that you'd be able to trade him, to be honest with you, in terms of what, because of what his salary is going to be, if people are going to be able to absorb that salary. I just, you know, there are times I pull my hair out and I write about it. You know, it drives me frustrated, but then when you see what he, you know, his contributions, I still think they're better off with him than without him.
Talking with Chip Scoggins of the Star Tribune, I reference Karl Anthony Towns to, like, when you see your buddy's buddy and you're still not so sure about him, and sometimes when you see him, he's a really cool guy. Sometimes when you do, he's like, this guy's kind of weird. It's that inconsistency, and I'm fully aware that in order to get rid of Cat, you would have to be sure you're replacing someone that's better than Cat. But I don't know if that's true. Yet at the same time, it's still so frustrating because Karl Anthony Towns should be one of the best players in the league based on his skill set, based on his size. And we just, he can't get out of his own way, Chip. He just can't get out of his own way.
Well, that's it. I mean, it's, to me, it's the fouls, and when he gets frustrated and he just goes in there out of control wildly and falls down looking for contact that's not going to come. I mean, at some point, you hope he realizes, like, this is self-defeating. Like, I'm not throwing a foul that I think I should get. I'm not, you know, it's not having the desired effect. I will say, I think he did, it's not 100% gone, but the complaining and the whining to the officials obviously still, I mean, everybody does it, but you don't see the technicals like he was getting. But, I mean, defensively, when you look at it, I mean, they had the number one defense. And a lot of that's Gobert, but a lot of that's because of, you know, what Towns can bring, too. And we saw it against, I mean, he defends Djokovic better than Gobert. And what he did on his versatility in defending Durant. So, yeah, it's a, I think complicated is the best way I can describe it, because it's not, like with Ant, you really have nothing that you pick apart, right? You just see a guy that's going to be one of the top players in the league for years to come. With Cat, it's like it just, you're right. The inconsistency is so prevalent that it's frustrating. But I think you have to look at the high moments and see what this team can be. I mean, you think about it, they're in the Western Conference Finals, right? Mm-hmm. And they'll look back, and it wasn't like they got, other than the last game, those first four games were all winnable. Now, they didn't do it. They didn't have the closers, and part of that's because Dallas has the two best closers in the league. They were right there. And so would you want to break that apart right now? Now, maybe you give it another year and say, you know what, if you don't take another step forward, you say we gave it 2 years and it didn't, you know, we can move on now. I just don't think I'd do it this year.
I can see that. I understand that. And I'm sure it doesn't help Karl Anthony Towns' case when his counterpart is Anthony Edwards, and we all sort of adore Anthony Edwards. It makes it easier almost to disrespect and dislike Karl Anthony Towns. But assuming they do keep the core together, which I think we both assume that they will, what kind of leash do they have in this offseason? And I know this ownership saga is going to make a difference, but what kind of room do they have to maybe add talent? I'm looking at players probably past their pay line in say, like OG Anunoby, maybe a Malik Monk. I'm just looking at talent, which I don't think they can afford. But what have you sort of looked at in this offseason that they can do?
Well, they won't have much wiggle room because they're going to be over the second apron with that. And so, you know, of the top eight, I think Kyle Anderson is the most likely to not return, even though he's widely respected. They love him in the organization, what he brings. I do think the eye injury clearly affected his shooting this year because he took a step back that. But you saw in game, what was it? Whatever it was, three or four.
I think it might have been game two.
The Dallas series, where he had, you know, he just had a big impact. But he'd be the most likely. I think they're going to have to address the point guard situation because Conley's, what, 37? Is that right?
I think turning 37.
You're going to have to, you know, at some point you got to find his successor as great as he is in terms of the professionalism and making sure they're run properly. But that, to me, you saw it in that Dallas series. They need more shooting. Mm-hmm. They need another reliable outside shooter. They just had too many guys that were slumping that they just didn't have that one guy that you could swing the ball to in the corner and make that three. So I think to the extent that they can with their financial constraints, I think they need to add another outside shooter.
Chip Scoggins of the Star Tribune on the line. I think Tyus Jones would be intriguing just because he's from the Apple Valley area. But again, I don't know if it's even possible with the second apron being already over the top. We're running out of time here, Chip, so I did want to ask you a little bit about the Vikings. What have you heard about J.J. McCarthy, and what have you heard about the relationship between both J.J. McCarthy and Justin Jefferson?
Yeah, I've been out there last couple days for the mandatory minicamp, and the relationship's good. I mean, J.J. McCarthy's, you know, he's, I would say he's having a rookie experience. There's some good.
Chip. That feels negative.
Well, it's funny. It's like people see, you know, first-round draft pick, whatever. Sam Darnold is clearly the number one guy right now. I mean, he's getting all the first-team reps. McCarthy's been, you know, running the second or third team offense, and that's to be expected. I mean, this is – we hear it all the time. We heard it from Kirk Cousins. We heard it from Jefferson last year, just how complicated Kevin O'Connell's offense is. So to expect a rookie to come in and have that mastered right now it's not realistic. And so, like, he's like any rookie in minicamp. There's going to be ups and there's going to be downs, and he's working his way through it. So, but he's doing, all you hear is compliments about his approach, about what he's learning, about how he's absorbing everything, and the relationship with him and Darnold seems to be really good. But they're going to slow play this, and they're not going to try to force him into anything too soon. They're not going to try to speed up his timeline. They're going to let it just kind of happen organically. And so Sam Darnold is the starter right now. I'd be surprised if he's not the starter on day one. And we'll see if that changes at some point during the season. But they're not going to put any kind of undue pressure on J.J. McCarthy to try to get in there as fast as possible when they feel like they have a veteran who can kind of serve as that bridge in his development.
I'm most excited about Dallas Turner because he's going to have that impact right away. What have you seen from Dallas Turner, the rookie edge rusher?
Yeah, he was running with the ones there in their base in some of the team stuff. He, you know, I think he's going to be an ideal piece in a Brian Flores defense where guys move around. He loves guys that are versatile, that he can put in different spots, that have different skill sets, and so I think that's why they were so excited that he was available for them to move up and get. And so I think I'll be surprised if he doesn't have a big year in this scheme, because I think he fits what Brian Flores likes to do defensively.
I like that a lot. Last question for you, Chip. Thanks for the time again. On June 6th, what are your expectations for this team 3 months away from week one?
It's interesting. I like the talent they have. Obviously getting J.J. resigned was a big part of that. I never thought that wouldn't come to pass. With the T.J. Hockenson injury, I don't know if he's going to be ready for the start of the year, but I like their skill players on offense. I think the offense is going to score points. I think the defense is going to be better. I think year two under Flores' scheme will help, and then they add some new pieces. So are they a playoff team? I don't know. I mean, so much of this is dependent on the quarterback. Yeah. And, you know, this is the ultimate test for Sam Darnold, because you can look at other situations that he is in and say, He wasn't surrounded. It wasn't a great situation for a quarterback, talent-wise, coaching, whatever. You know, this wasn't necessarily all his fault. Well, he's coming into a situation where you have a head coach who's an offensive guy who played the position. You have the best wide receiver in the NFL. You have some really good skill players. You have two premier tackles. And so this is a good situation for Sam Darnold to step into and be surrounded, have a good foundation, and be surrounded by the right situation. So I'm curious to see how he handles that. Because if he flourishes, then you can say, you know, you feel good about not having to rush J.J. McCarthy. If he stumbles and it's, you know, it's still not good, well, then that's a Sam Darnold question then. Because, we heard it from J.J. McCarthy coming into the draft that so many of the draft prospect quarterbacks wanted to come to the Vikings because they felt like the situation was good for them. And so I would say that same thing applies to Sam Darnold at this point in his career as a veteran.
A lot of questions to be answered. Unfortunately, we're quite a ways away. That's Chip Scoggins, sports columnist for the Star Tribune. Chip, thank you so much for the time. Look forward to the next time you join the program.
Appreciate it, Jake. Thanks, man.